Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Wombat Sports here on blogtalkradio.com, also wombatsports.com, and gofightlive.tv. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. And I'm very excited this week because if you guys haven't read my piece on Fight Like a Girl, I just put it on the website again. It's now pinned to the top of the website, so you guys can check it out and where you guys can go and find where you get this documentary, because it's a really good documentary as well. It's going to be really great to be able to talk to her. First of all, I want to introduce my co-host, who is the author of A History of Women's Boxing, which is a really good piece about the history of women's boxing all the way from the 1700s to the present day, and even goes into a little bit of women's mixed martial arts as well. And out of New York, the author of that book, Melissa Smith, is with us right now. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm particularly excited to talk to Jill about her incredible film, Fight Like a Girl.
Yeah, I mean, have you had the opportunity to watch it at all? Yeah, Jill's on with us, too. I haven't gotten to her fans to them yet, but before I get to you, Jill, Melissa, have you had the opportunity to watch the film?
I have indeed. I've seen it both in New York at the Shadowbox Film Festival and have had the opportunity to watch it at home on the DVD. It really is an incredible story. I call it more not so much a documentary as really just the best of video memoir that you can find, and just a wonderful testament to Jill and to women's fighting at its best.
Yeah, now let me give you a proper introduction, Jill. She documented herself going through this process, which, you know, I think a lot of people will get a lot of inspiration from. She's overcome mental hurdles. She really had a goal of wanting to box, and she really did a great job of covering a lot of these women. In terms of where they were in the career. Some of them were just starting out. Some gals were at the top of their game, and it was just an absolute great documentary. I loved it. I'm privileged to have the filmmaker and one of the subjects of Fight Like a Girl on with us right now, Jill Morley. How's everything going, Jill?
It's going well. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm excited that we finally have we've gotten a lot of great feedback. The best feedback always comes from women who have dealt with similar issues and who are fighters and who may have run into some of the problems that me and the other girls did as far as depression or PTSD or something, or else just, believing in yourself as a woman. And that's the best feedback. And then, we also got good reviews and stuff, but that's the stuff that is the most important to me.
Yeah, I think that it was really interesting because you do tackle a couple of issues. The first being that, I guess I'm going to kind of have to spoil this a little bit, that you were actually too old to be able to compete in the Golden Gloves, but you ended up lying about that. With women right nowadays, I mean, especially in the women's mixed martial arts realm, I'm seeing a lot more women that are starting out later in their lives, in their late 30s, the mid to late 30s, and they're doing very successful themselves. And, we're getting to that point where there is a little bit of ageism. I know a fighter, Susie Wyatt, who's, I think this year is going to be 50 years old. She started her fight career at 47, and she's only lost, I think, two or three times. So she's like 9-3 or something like that as a fighter. So, just in terms of that, can you tell us a little bit about your, experience? I mean, there's a little bit of ageism going on in terms of female boxing.
Right. Well, I mean, I understand a bit as far as the men go, because a lot of times the guys have been boxing since they're 4 or 5 years old, and, I'm sure they can get punch drunk and whatever. But as far as women go, we a lot of us started later. A lot of us also don't have that opportunity to fight as often as the men. And I don't know, our bodies are stronger. We're taking better care of ourselves so that we can be competitive at a later age, It's difficult. When I signed up to do the Golden Gloves, the cutoff age was 34. Now it's 40. So it's different. And I was 40 at the time. So I lied by like 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, you see gals like Mary Kahn that, you know, that's you know, I mean, she's in her 30s, I think, right, Melissa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She is.
And she's doing she's still doing a great job. I mean,
Look at Alicia Ashley, who at 47, you know, is an extraordinary athlete, even though she recently lost her WBC title in Mexico in September. I mean, arguably she won that fight. It really was a question of style more than substance in terms of her particular loss. She's a very slick fighter and uses defense incredibly well. So it's very hard for a fighter to get their glove on her.
She's one of the best. One of the best, I think.
And again, she's at 47,
She's very, also she used to be a dancer, so watching her fight is like, you know, a really beautiful experience. And yeah, at 47, she's still highly, highly competitive, if not the best in her weight class.
And that's against women half her age.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're kind of, you know, in a lot of commissions, I mean, you know, I think some commissions are, you know, need to kind of update that and say, you know, if they can pass a physical, because a lot of these girls are going to be able to pass a physical, and you're going to know if you're a little punch drunk or whatever from, you know, from any kind of things or whatever. If a commission doc clears you, then you should be able to do it, you know. So, you know, hopefully that kind of adjusts things as well, because I know that Susie, in Susie's case, she's you know, there's very few commissions that'll license her. And it's kind of funny because of trying to think of her name, Alex Chambers was on the Ultimate Fighter. She had to go and physically, you know, go in front of the panel over at the Nevada State Athletic Commission because she was 36, and I guess there's a rule that if you're 36, you have to appear in front of the panel. So. It's just really interesting side note that there's kind of that as well.
Well, to Jill's point, you know, there are women who start rather late who don't start boxing till they're in their 30s. So if a person isn't boxing till they're 35 and they're 40 years old, I mean, they're relative to getting hit in the head and everything else, they're essentially a novice in the ring. From that perspective, although as a boxer they may be highly talented because they're older, they have more control of their body, and they really understand the science of what they're looking to achieve. So that kind of ageism really doesn't have a place in the sport for women, because you really have to look at how long a woman has been in the sport and how defensive she is capable of being. Again, with Alicia Ashley, who has been in the sport for 20 years, she's a defensive fighter. No one's hitting her on the head, so there's no reason why she can't fight.
Yeah, and even in my amateur fights, I mean, I've won 5 of them all against younger girls, you know. And I'm still somewhat of a novice because I haven't had more than, I guess, I don't know, 7 fights. But it made no sense. Like, I don't feel like, oh, no, I'm at a disadvantage because I'm so old. You know, it's like they're at a disadvantage because, you know, I'm thinking 2 steps ahead of them, you know. So
now, yeah, let's go over to the other topic that's really kind of prevalent on here, is that's mental hurdles and being able to conquer the mental hurdles in terms of your boxing. You mentioned, you know, obviously depression and post-traumatic stress was a huge part of this as well. And we could see that there were some times where, you know, some of the episodes were a little bit more prevalent and all that as well. Can you tell me how boxing kind of helped with that, and kind of your journey through boxing to help with that situation?
Yeah, well, I find that a lot of women who are attracted to boxing usually have had to overcome some kind of adversity in their lives. And I'm not saying every woman has been abused or anything, because there's also just this real, you know, I'm also a competitive athlete. I played, you know, tennis for a Division I school, you know. But there is that element of wanting to overcome something. And then, of course, when it has to do with physical abuse, you know, this is basically mano a mano, like literally, you know, you're literally fighting it like that. The only tough thing is that for someone who has post-traumatic stress disorder, when they're getting hit, it'll send them back to a place where they're not present anymore. So it's like, almost like they can't even fight back. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just that you're not, it's like you're not yourself anymore. You're not there. The threat that's in front of you isn't really what is making you react. It's the threat that was in front of you many years ago, you know, when it happened, when the abuse happened. And I think by confronting it, it's almost like there's something called exposure therapy where you kind of expose yourself a little bit, and you build up against it until you can handle it, you know. And then when you do that, it feels so good to know, like, you know, I can get hit really hard a lot and I'm still okay, you know. That's not really it, but I mean, you know, I can be in the heat of a battle and not check out or not, you know. I used to shake and cry uncontrollably. I mean, I couldn't even control that, you know. It was embarrassing. But that doesn't happen anymore, you know. I learned how to move. I learned how to cover up. I learned how to, you know, get out of there. Or I don't, it doesn't go to this emotional place for me anymore. And just talking to a lot of female fighters, MMA fighters, female boxers, it just seems like it sort of gives us a sense of control. It's like we're taking something back that was maybe taken from us when we were young.
Has that impacted you in other parts of your life? That opportunity to work that through in the ring, I mean, how is that carried over for you?
I think it's made me a lot more confident. I mean, I know I can overcome things. I mean, it took me to some really dark, dark places, as you know. That was really tough. But, I mean, I think basically during the film, I filmed basically the darkest part of my life ever.
Yeah.
And it wound up on film, which, you know, as Melissa knows, I set out to make a film about these other women who are amazing, Kimberly Tomes, Susan Reno, Maureen Shea, and, like, I was going to put myself in the background as structures, like, oh, and I'm going to fight in the Golden Gloves, and whatever happens, happens, I'll just do my best, you know? And then due to the post-traumatic stress disorder that arose during sparring, I became more central to the story, much to my chagrin, you know?
Well, it's interesting. And in terms of just as a film, but you also, I think, broke new ground just from the standpoint of telling a story in film and using women's boxing as that context or the context for breaking through that story. But can you talk to, you know, what it was as a filmmaker that sort of made you able to make yourself the center of the story rather than the story you initially started to tell?
Well, you know, I've written plays and short stories and things like that, and I'm always, one of the things about my work, good, you know, good or bad, is I'm very honest, mm-hmm. you know, and I know that's a strength, and I can't be dishonest, because if I'm dishonest, I know I'm going to make a piece of crap, you know, that's not my aesthetic. It's like, even the way the film looks, it's like some of it looks beautiful. It's shot beautifully. Other times it's just guerrilla style. It's gritty. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kind of stories I like to tell. So it's a strange thing because most people wouldn't probably reveal what I revealed in the film. But in a way, too, I think of myself as a character. And also now it's happened so long ago, I don't see it as me anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the rewarding part is when, you know, we showed it actually to a bunch of high school students, and a girl had tried to commit suicide, and she came up to me afterwards, and she asked for a hug and just said, thank you so much for this, you know, and that's the reward for putting yourself out there like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking at you, where you were at that point and looking at yourself now, I mean, you know, obviously you said that you're a way different person than you were then. What's probably the most important lesson you took from being a part of, you know, kind of doing this documentary and being a part of it?
Well, mostly, I mean, I can't say also the healing all came on me. The healing came from also the women, like working with the women. And Melissa knows about this. Like there's this deep camaraderie among a lot of the women where we really want to help each other get better, you know. And I know it sounds crazy because we're punching each other in the face, but there's this feeling of like you know that your teammates want you to get better. So there's that element of it.
I think what I see too in the gym, and I work out at Gleason's, and I see Kimberly, one of the subjects, all the time, and have actually was just communicating with Sue Reno a little while ago because she had a fight on Friday night. It's also this. It doesn't necessarily get spoken, but it's almost like you're in this club, and
yeah.
If you're there and you do the work, and it doesn't matter whether you're a professional fighter or an amateur fighter or you're like me and you spar on Saturday afternoons, if you're doing the work and you're putting in the effort, there's a real sense of appreciation that you're actually putting yourself out there and doing the work. And it's a very hard thing, especially for women of a certain age and in that we were all told never to hit, never to express emotion in that kind of physical sense or even show strength. So it's quite something and quite brave to overcome those feelings and get into the ring and show one's own strength and hit somebody and have somebody hit you. It's quite a cathartic experience.
It's true, and also you make yourself very vulnerable by letting people see you display that strength, by letting people just see you sometimes take a couple shots, by letting them see that, you know, they see these other parts of you that you would probably never show anyone, but it's all there in the ring for everyone to see. You know, so in that way, everyone, I think all fighters make themselves completely vulnerable, not to mention, you know, if you lose, it's like the most humiliating thing, you know. But then you learn that it's like you learn how to handle that. You learn how to say, well, I learned from that, you know, and now I've got to move on. There's like so many great life lessons you learn just from participating in a combat sport. And then for women, like Melissa was saying, you know, we weren't, you know, I played tennis. I knew I needed to hit something. it just couldn't use gloves at the time, you know. So.
Yeah, I mean, on a side note on that, I mean, I just took up Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu this past year, and, you know, I get what you're saying. I mean, in terms of having a team there, the main reason why I decided to go take Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, besides the fact that I always wanted to take it, was the fact that, you know, I wanted to get in shape, but I didn't want to have to go out to a gym and have to rely on myself. It's better to have somebody else to be able to there to push you and have support. And it's worked. And, you know, I think that, you know, I see a couple of girls that are in my gym as well. And, you know, I think they're in their late 20s, early 30s right now. And, you know, they're enjoying themselves. They're pushing themselves really, really well. They're really becoming, you know, really good, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu specialists right now, too. So, I think we're seeing that kind of thing going on. If we're seeing a lot of girls taking up these combat sports. And it just seems that it's amazing to be able to see that there's all the support in terms of team and to be able to lean on somebody, and especially considering all the hurdles they have to, especially in this film, because you had mentioned, and you, it seems like every single person had some kind of mental hurdle to kind of overcome. You know, Maureen was really trying to get to that championship and was getting to that point where, you know, she was losing confidence in herself a little bit by the sounds of it. And everybody was like, one of them was on a losing streak and all this as well. I mean, what does it mean to have a team behind you to say, you know, to kind of pick you up in those when it comes to those mental hurdles?
You know, it's interesting because a lot of times, you know, because I've fought when I didn't have a team behind me, like when I didn't have a coach, you know. And when you have the team behind you, it feels so good because you're being supported. And you're being supported in maybe a way you weren't supported before, you know? And to have these people behind you, and these are people that you genuinely respect and look up to. And, you know, and they're walking behind you carrying your bucket, you know? It's kind of an amazing feeling. I think it really, and then you're there for them in the same way, you know.
There's also a level of intimacy that that one experiences in boxing that is kind of surprising. You know, when you have gloves on, you can't really wipe your brow, you can't get water easily, and to allow someone just to do those very small acts for you, to wipe your head with the sweat, or pour water over your head a little bit, or give you a drink of water, is a very intimate act and something that women aren't used to accepting in that way. It creates emotional bonds and just a sense of trust with the people on your team that you don't necessarily have in other parts of your life.
Yeah, it's very true. Very true.
Was there any questions you had, Melissa, at all?
Well, I'm just curious, and you've done this film, you've shown us and given us this beautiful portrayal of a very, very, very difficult time in your life and the process of sort of stripping down and then rebuilding yourself. I'm curious, how are things now for you and what reverberates from this project in the work that you're doing now?
You know, it's funny. Right now I feel like I'm getting a fresh start because the film has been distributed now worldwide on video on demand. It's available on iTunes, Amazon. We're going to be pitching it to TV next. So I feel like it feels so good not to have to drive that boat anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to start new. And actually the project I'm working on now and I'm focusing on has to do with comedy. You know? And again, women, because I think I'm always fascinated with subversive women. But I think it just gives me something to stand on. I mean, besides, you know, being able to go from, you know, shaking and crying in a corner to fighting and winning fights. I also, you know, over 7 years, I made a freaking documentary film, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that actually is, you know, I'm pretty happy with it.
Are you still involved in women's boxing or women's combat sports?
Yeah, very much, I'd say. I mean, I still train. I was sparring today. and then, you know, I love all the women. I stay in touch with the women. And I'm also interested in mixed martial arts. You know, I was managing Kiana Rain and working with her, trying to get her some MMA fights. And I'm fascinated with that as well. I would never in a million years, you know, try that kind of a thing. But, you know, I love the women that do it. So I want to help them in whatever way I can. Because, as you know, there's not a whole lot of support. And the good thing with MMA is, though, at least they have some promoters that are getting behind them and, like, showcasing them. And that's what we've been lacking in boxing for years. You know, as we know, like, there's so many amazing stars. Like, you watch them fight, and you're like, holy crap, you know, watching Maureen Shea or Melissa Hernandez or Alicia Ashley or, you know, Diana Prajak. You watch these women, and you're just like, Why aren't they being shown? You know, why don't we see these women on TV? This is crazy.
Yeah, and you had mentioned also that you had shown the film to some teenage girls. Have you had other outreach to young girls with the film?
Well, yeah, I actually teach. I teach boxing classes to, like, I'll go to the Boys and Girls Club and I do volunteer stuff, and I feel like that's kind of one of my ways of giving back is. You know, we teach the boxing. We have them tell stories about what's going on in their lives. Because the boxing can make you vulnerable, too, to talk. Like you said, there's all these little intimate acts. And I feel like it gives them an outlet to talk and then to learn something fun and let themselves experience this fun, aggressive energy that girls have that we're not exactly encouraged to use, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like working with girls. And I'm still open to doing screenings if anyone wants, you know, a private screening at their school or something, or, you know, feel free to contact me because, yeah, I like that.
Cool.
Speaking of which, I believe, hopefully, fingers crossed that the Artemis Film Festival ends up coming together. I think they're right now in the middle of a Kickstarter campaign to try to get that organized by April, and I think you've said that you wanted to be a part of that as well. So shout out to them, and hopefully we can get this film festival going. It's a really good film festival that features women's action movies as well as documentaries. And they're really kind of concentrating on the women's fighting end of things in terms of documentaries. So fingers crossed on that.
Yeah,
and,
that's a great
let's
idea.
See here. shout out to Kiana Rain because I've covered her for quite a while. You're absolutely right that we're getting to that point, and I was talking to you about this, Jill, before we went on air, about, you know, how far women's mixed martial arts has went. And kind of one of the things that I'm doing with the site starting this year is starting to kind of dive into these other sports because I think we're at a point where women's mixed martial arts has gotten to that point where it's getting a lot of publicity from the major sites, and there's a lot of people that are covering it. So I want to get that. I want boxing to do that same thing. You know, I want it to get to that point where it's starting to be covered by a lot of major sites, and they're getting the opportunities they have. That, you know, women's martial arts was mixed martial arts was like what women's boxing was about 4 or 5 years ago, but now it's so popular that people are starting to push it a lot more. So my hope is to start to highlight more boxers on the website and get to that point where we can start to, you know, get those girls fights and be able to give them some coverage. So hopefully they can be on TV and so people can see their talent. So, you know, hopefully that's going to happen in the next couple months as well as soon as when I start getting the site moved over towards that end of the sport. I think it's going to be absolutely great. And by the way, I do a entertainment show also, Jill, just on the side. I don't know if you knew that. I've had quite a few female comedians on. Anybody that you're particularly talking to?
About who? About what?
About your documentary. Have you interviewed anybody for the documentary that you're doing?
I'm not working on a documentary right now. The question is, sorry, I might have misunderstood you.
Yeah. You said something about you working with comedy. What was that all about?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm developing a reality show / documentary series. Yeah, about two women in their 70s trying to break into stand-up comedy.
Oh, that should be great.
And they're great. They're amazing. They're so funny. Yeah.
To your point.
Well, if you need any help with that, let me. Go.
Cool.
Oh, I was going to say, Joe, if you need any help with that or any comedian contacts out there, let me know. Go ahead, Melissa.
So I was going to say to your point about, you know, women's upping the visibility of women's boxing, I mean, there's some great things coming up. There's Rio on the amateur side. There's Rio in 2016. So there's going to be a lot of activity this year and going into next year for the young amateur fighters who are going after the very, very few spots in the sport. That includes in April an international championship, an international tournament in Atlanta. And then there'll be the Pan Am fights and all of the other fights throughout the year. But there's also been some talk of trying to get, not exactly a boxino, but something similar to that, some kind of Ron Robin tournament with professional fighters, female fighters this year. We'll see if that goes anywhere. But it's I do a show with Billy C. once a month, and it's something that he was talking about that might be happening down in Florida. So there is, certainly it's on people's radar. We'll just see if things actually happen.
That would be great. Also, to your point, I think I was hoping the more we learn the women's stories, the more we'll get fans. You know, like the whole reason I think, if you think you know the story of the UFC, is the guys, that sport really didn't blow up until the Ultimate Fighter reality television show came on and people started watching them and following them and caring about them. Then they started to care about the sport more, you know?
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot to be learned from the MMA model, in my opinion, where, you know, you have basically leagues and women who fight each other and men who fight each other and opportunities to build an audience and opportunities to build a fan base and also the opportunity to fight on a regular basis, which is one of the biggest problems for females today is just getting the opportunity to have fights. If they're in some kind of league or in those kind of tournaments, it guarantees a certain number of fights in a year and keeps them fresh and on their game and also keeps them excited and motivated about the sport that they love.
Yeah, you know, I think that the boxing model is really outdated. They're so heavy on wanting to promote who's ever in the main event, and the UFC's model is, you know, okay, we're gonna promote who's gonna be in the main event, but we're also gonna talk to a couple of the fighters that are on the undercard, and they kind of really do it, you know, they actually do promote their undercard fighters and let everybody know, oh, this is who's gonna be fighting on the undercard, and I wish that boxing would do that more. You know, I think that a lot of times when you go into a boxing pay-per-view, you maybe have two or three fights, maybe. And that kind of model, I think, is outdated. People want more value for their buck in terms of spending their pay-per-view dollars. So I'm really hoping that we get off of that. I know there's a lot of people that are going into the boxing promotion realm. I know Jay-Z's done that. I know that Mayweather has his own promotion. Mike Tyson has his own promotion. I really want to see them kind of adapt the UFC kind of model that's going on right now and kind of, you know, develop their stars that way. I think it's going to be interesting to see if that's the thing that they're going to be able to do. And I think that the girls need to really push hard, and I'm going to try my best on my end to try to get to the point where, you know, to get to know these girls, because a lot of times what Anna Houlton had told me was that these promoters don't know who these girls are. If we can get that word out about who these girls are, then they're going to be able to move and say, okay, so she's a promotable fighter. We can get them up there as well. I'd be amiss to not mention Fight Girls back on Oxygen back in the day. It was a kickboxing competition, but a lot of the fighters that were on there ended up going to mixed martial arts. Felice Herrig is currently kind of with UFC. Gina Carano, who's currently an action star, but she became MMA. Michelle Watterson, who is a star over at Invicta. A lot of the girls that were on the show ended up going to mixed martial arts. I kind of wish Oxygen would bring that model back, maybe in terms of a women's boxing realm or something like that. So, you know, fingers crossed on that. But, yeah, I think I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, the boxing needs to take up some more of what the women's martial arts model has come up as well. So I'm really hoping that this year we get to that point where we we get to start where women's martial arts started a couple of years ago and get them built up that way too. So, you know, fingers crossed on that as well. I know we're running out of time a little bit here. First of all, Jill, but like a girl movie.com, you guys can check her out there as well. Also want to mention that, you know, that the like a girl hashtag has blown up over the past 4 or 5 months, especially during the Super Bowl ads as well. What do you guys think about that?
I love it. I know. I'm trying to get a hold of them. I'm like, you know, I would love to try to jump in on that campaign or try to get, you know, bring that exposure to women's martial arts. But I do think, you know, I think this is in the zeitgeist right now. It's like women power, you know. It's just happening.
Yeah.
I thought it was a fantastic ad and so instructional. And it's something that I think I've talked about on my blog that, you know, it's something along around the time when you hit puberty that sense of power that young girls feel is ripped away from them. And I thought it did a terrific service to the cause of women in general and, of course, to the idea that women can be strong and can fight like a girl.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's amazing to see over the past year there's just been so many campaigns for those adolescent girls to say, hey, you can do whatever you want, you know, be it fighting, be it becoming an engineer, becoming a scientist, because it was never in vogue to be a scientist and be a girl. So it's great to be able to see that, you know, there is those kind of campaigns going on in this second decade. So it'll be interesting to see how the next couple of years go. But I've been seeing a lot of girls that are definitely breaking out of that model and that are training boxing, they're training MMA, they're training Muay Thai as early as, you know, 11, 12, 13, some even younger than that. So I think it's breaking through.
I absolutely. And, you know, women like Bianca Gutierrez, who has that wonderful, beautiful Brawlers program out in California for young women who box, and you know, the National Golden Gloves, which has girls as young as 9, 10 years old competing. And I got to tell you, they were extraordinary when I saw them in July. Those kind of programs just keep the notion that girls can fight, and not only that, but that their coaches believe in them. And that was the thing that I really came away from being at that particular tournament in Florida, was the idea that these coaches were willing to travel hundreds and hundreds of miles to get to Florida with their 11-year-old girls to have them compete in the National Golden Gloves. That is not something I really expected to see. And when I heard the coaches talking about these kids and how much they believed in them, I really came away feeling that the future is set for these girls in this sport.
That's a great insight, you know, because it's not just going to be in the sport. It's going to be for the rest of their lives that someone believes in them or believed in them at a young age in this way, you know, that really hasn't happened before. And there are, like, I don't know if you've been to jiu-jitsu tournaments. I was following some of the younger, like, 8, 9, 10-year-old girls who go out there. And there's, like, a ton of women and little girls doing jiu-jitsu now. It's not even funny. Like, tons of them. Like, little braids. It's great, you know. I mean, it's shocking. But I think it's all across the board now, you know.
It is. Look, my daughter competes doesn't compete. My daughter's been doing Aikido from the age of 5. And sort of the youngest member of their dojo, who just got a black belt at the age of 16, was her girl who was a year older than her, who was 16. I mean, literally, she turned 16 and she got her black belt. This is not a sport that just hands them out. There's no, like, kid black belts. She had to really work and earn it. So, you know, there is all of that going on. We may not see it in the media, but it's going on everywhere. And it's not just Brooklyn, New York. It's in Ohio and in California and Kansas. You name the place, and there's some kind of boxing or some kind of martial sport happening with young girls participating and being given the respect and the support they need to continue on. And as you say, Jill, give them something that will give them meaning over the rest of their lives.
Shout out to Jess Philippus for her program out in Nebraska. She's you know, training about 30 or 40 girls for wrestling, and that sport's expanding so much. High schools are starting to do women's teams now, and that's starting to grow by leaps and bounds, and as well as college level teams. I think they just added like 4 or 5 different college teams this past year. So you know, great to be able to see that as well. Like I said, running out of time. I want to plug again, you know, fightlikeagirlmovie.com, so you guys can check out what's going on in terms of where you can get the movie. You can see a trailer for the movie there as well. At Jill Morley on Twitter, and you know, Fight Like a Girl on Facebook, to make sure you guys check out that film as well. Anything I'm missing at all, Jill?
No, thank you so much for having me on, plugging the film, talking, and thank you, Melissa, too. What a great surprise to be able to you know, do this with you.
Thank you, Jill. It's great to talk to you.
Same here.
And also, I also want to mention that you guys can get History of Women's Boxing by Melissa Smith over at Amazon and all the places that you could possibly do. And I especially love the book, considering my name's actually in it and the acknowledgments. And thanks again, Melissa, for doing that. Make sure you guys check out. It's actually a very good book. You know, if you haven't realized how long women have been fighting, wait until you read this book. Some of the great things. It's been interesting to see, you know, kind of the golden years of what women's boxing was, and the kind of the cycle kind of effect that was in the book. So make sure you guys check that out as well. A History of Women's on Twitter, and History of Women's Boxing on Facebook. Also, check out Melissa's blog, Girl Boxing, and Girl Boxing Now on Twitter. So make sure you check that out as well. Anything I'm missing, Melissa?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you ladies as well. Are you going to be over at, are you going to be watching Invicta at all, Jill?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm actually going to the fight. On the 27th.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Will you be there?
I wish I could be down there for it. No, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be up in Portland, actually.
All right.
So, But maybe next time in LA, I definitely have to look you up.
Excellent, you should.
Okay,
and
will do.
Again. I have to look back. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I have to back you up. Melissa really did her research on this book, and you could just see her love for the sport. It's really quite amazing. It's an amazing piece of work.
Thank you.
Yeah, and again, thank you, ladies, for being on the show. And like I said, we'll definitely have you guys back on soon enough. I need to get more boxers on, Melissa, so I'll let you know.
Oh, great.
when that ends up happening. But always a pleasure to have you as a co-host. So
thank you.
So yeah, thank you for your time as well. Not sure who we're going to do next week. I'll let you guys know. Go to wombatsports.com and check it out. If you guys haven't read my review of Fight Like a Girl, it is on pinned on the top of wombatsports.com, so you guys can check that out, plus a link to the website where you can get access to it. Follow us on Twitter at wombatsports, and wombatsports on Facebook. A lot of stuff going on this week, plus we're doing some Invicta coverage as well, so make sure to check that out as well. We'll see you guys coming up next week, Sunday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Definitely check that out as well. And one quick plug before we go. Please pledge to Society 9. They're doing a really great job in terms of redefining what women's gear is. Actually, their gloves actually are revolutionizing both men and female boxing and MMA. Please go and contribute to their Care Kickstarter. They're over two-thirds of the way there. And if you do contribute, you will be getting a pair of those gloves, which, are just absolutely redesigned for comfort in terms of the fighter and performance as well. So make sure you check that out as well. And I'll have more about that on wombatsports.com. With that in mind, we'll see you guys next week. See you later, Jill, and see you later, Melissa.
Thank you.
Hi, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.